The last thing I want to talk about is intervention experiments. We're taking children that are having profound difficulties in learning to read in second and third and fourth grade, and we're giving them different teaching experiences, some that really focus on focusing their minds on the sounds of words and linking them to letters, and others that are focusing on the larger picture of sitting down, finding a book that you're motivated with, working with a tutor who just helps reads it to you or helps you struggle through the words, and looking at how these impact brain activity, how working with a tutor who approaches the problem one way might differ and change different brain circuits than working with a tutor who approaches the problem another way. By randomly assigning students and tutors and curricula, we're able to really differentiate these larger principles about what's driving changes in brain activity. And just to give you a quick sense of what this research looks like, we're able to see, following 20 sessions of tutoring, changes in patterns of brain activity for kids. And the regions that seem to change the most are the very same regions that are underactivated in dyslexic adults. These left hemisphere regions that are really linked to processing the sounds of language, the same regions that all of you activated when you were focusing your mind on whether bays and crays rhyme or not, versus focusing your mind on the tones within those words. When you focus on the phonology of language, these areas become really active in skilled readers and not very active in dyslexics. If you spend 20 sessions with a tutor who's helping you use your mind this way, when you're in a brain scan at the end of that 20 sessions, these areas become more active when you're reading. And so we're able to make a connection between different types of education and different types of brain reorganization. And I don't want you to focus on that particular study. I mean, it's a couple years old now, and it's not quite as exciting as it used to be, but I want you to focus on that general idea that our generation, we all own this. We all have access to this. This is not some bizarre little subset of scientists that won't talk to anybody else, but this is something that we all have access to. We're able to pose questions about how is the brain changing through these experiences? What are the hallmarks of an amazing educational experience that has the impact of changing minds and also changing brains? That's something that we all have access to and that we all share and that we can all ask throughout our careers, either by becoming brain scientists, maybe you want to do that, maybe you don't, but becoming intelligent consumers of this new form of knowledge which is being transformed about every 2.5 years. It's a completely different game in terms of what we're able to look at, what we're able to measure. This is going to change over the course of our lifetimes in profound ways that nobody can predict. The next 20 years, if they've changed as rapidly as the last 5 years, are going to be really amazing. And we're going to be grappling with questions about how do brains differ, how do minds differ, how do experiences differ. If you spend 5 years going to the wrong college, what did that do to your potential development as an intellectual? I don't know. But these are broad questions that we can all kind of think about. So I want to take the last 3 minutes and have you reconvene in your groups of three and come back at your question again and see if, with these kind of focusing things about what we've learned so far, what questions do you think are possible? What questions would you be interested in if an article came? Would you be even interested in reading? Or would you be just fascinated like that? Wow, that would change everything. The basic question, how does the brain relate to education?